One thing I'd like to mention, that is, I'm not too much of a routinist. I don't care too much for routine. I'm a lover of custom. The Bible said it was Jesus' way to be, or custom to be, in the house of God every Sabbath night. I like the customs of God, but just to be routinist, I don't care for that. You know, in routine, you come to church and we wonder whether the sermon's going to be short or whether we're going to get out early or we don't half listen. People have customs where they come to the house of God and they come to learn. They come believing that this is the words of eternal life. Many people left Jesus during his administration here in his early life, and he finally turned to the 12 and he said, "Will ye also go away?" And they said, "Well, unto whom shall we go, seeing that ye alone have the words of eternal life?" So these are the words of eternal life. Now, if we didn't believe that, if we don't believe that, why should we come here? We shouldn't come here thinking we get out early or whatever. We should not come here, period. It'd take all the time. For why come here? Why bother the preacher? Why bother the congregation? Why bother ourselves? Because we're unbelievers to start with, and we don't believe it is eternal life. We don't believe those words are important, so why bother to listen to them at all? But then if they are eternal, and if they are the only source of eternal life, in that God is the Spirit and God is the Word, and the only way you can get into the kingdom of God is by the Word, we need to come, as the Bible said, ready to hear. Ready to hear. Faith by hearing, and it was translated by faith. You know, it was like I was saying to my companion a little earlier over the evening. I see ministers all over the world, and great ministers. Great things going on. And God's in great things. But I see all these things, and I see the box offices as it is with Elvis Presley and all the other singers. They charge so much for you to get in, have a seat. And the building fills up and runs over. And they have to turn them away. That's great. But I see these organized meetings compromising in a three-God teaching to where they can have the backings of all these things. And like it was with one over New York, over 100 churches ready before you ever got there. See, and it looks like a big thing. And they gather together, even as the papacy gathers this big crowd together. These men have these great protracted meetings. They practice healing because just about everybody's sick. And when you do that, people just flood in from everywhere, especially if you don't preach holiness and don't preach against sin. And they're looking for leaders anyway, and they'll just grab things and they'll go with it. And they'll support you with plenty of money. You don't have to worry about the money. But all of that's abomination in the sight of God. And it's not like they don't feel the presence of God. They do. They shout and they sing and they play the instruments, and people occasionally get healed. They don't get healed like they appear to get healed, but occasionally somebody will get healed because there is some sincere faith that drifts in and out from among them. The others, a lot of times, are just ministers of Lucifer that transform their minds and minister the words of light, as the Bible says. And these men traveling around the world are gathering together the tares for that great judgment day. Now the question arises, is those men of God? Did God send those men? If they are sent of God, why don't they preach the gospel? Why do they evade the gospel? Why do they all go the same way with their desire for the Olympics, allowing for bathing suits and never preaching the spirit of holiness, never pinning anybody down to anything, just whatever the people like? The world loves its own. Whatever it seems to be good for the flesh, as to health and prosperity and whatever. See, and pacifying the people to make the people feel good, because the rain is on the unjust right now, on the terror, because the blood is on the seat of atonement, and you can't tell the difference between them. So they are having a good time. You don't even have to go listen to the preacher. All you got to do is go to an all-night singing. You'll get the same results. They'll shout and holler and go right on at the all-night singing. Some of them boys live like the devil. And mixed in among them, there are a few that's pretty decent. Pretty much so. But if these men, as I said today to my wife, if these men had have stood in the presence of God, if it really is true that they're so mightily anointed and that they've stood in the presence of God, the question arises in my mind, why have they not turned the people from their sins? The Bible said if they had stood in my presence, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. Why is it that they've not been able to cause the people to turn from their sins? Why is that? You know why it is? Because they're living in sin, and it's showing up everywhere. And you know why it is? It's because they're not desiring that they turn from sin, because they haven't turned from sin. And they're not preaching anything about turning from sin. Occasionally, they'll mention a little something. That's about all there is to it. I say, well, Brother Pike, that ain't right. Oh, yes, that is right. Now, you don't know. Oh, yes, I do know. Like I told a man in Colorado one time, I said, you need to preach thus and thus and thus. He said, if I did, I'd lose half my congregation. Now, the question arises like this. Isn't that what it's all about? Or is it that we're separating the sheep from the goat? Or does God love everybody from the Muslims all the way down? And is everybody going to heaven? If they are, then I'm preaching in vain. If there's no need for holiness, then I don't have a ministry. If all these things are right, then I need to leave everything alone. You know, it's just like I come down on the military and I come down on the medical world and I come down on the educational system. I come down hard on it. And somebody says, well, Brother Pike, you shouldn't do that. That's part of our operation. We the people need that. I know you the people need that. I understand that. And somebody said, well, what about all these good, wonderful things that we get, Brother Pike? Isn't that God? God said, if your ways please me, I'll make your enemies be at peace with you. Said, from which comes your wars? Isn't it from the lust that warreth in your members? All these good things that come as to the protection of the military, do they keep us? Are they our protection? Whereas the Bible states that if your enemy comes out against you one way, I'll make him flee before you seven ways. Isn't that right? And no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. And righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'll give you peace with all of your enemies. When God got ready to build his temple, David didn't do what the Lord told him to do. He had trouble and war all of his life. Solomon did what the Lord told him to, is to build that temple, even though he fell into problems the same way his dad did with women. Yet still God allowed it, suffered it, went right on and gave him peace and built the temple because he had to have that temple built. See, and God does what he wants to do. And when it comes to the medical world, the good things that God has given has been by people of decency, men and women, that have sought these things out and searched these things out and put them together. And then a bunch of boycotting devils has got around with a little PhD or something and making you bow down and honor them while they strip you down and ravish you and turn you into sodomites and turn you into whoremongers and adulterers and everything else by taking the few little things that God has given to aid humanity as while they're developing their faith and while they're trying to come down this trail toward the change of the body. See, and the educational system is rotten from the word go. It is rotten. It's the old tree of knowledge that started the whole thing to start with. It's what hatched the whole thing up. Now, and yet we are supposed to lie for that. We are supposed to be people that allow for that, people allow that to go on, people that don't say anything about that. You know, because that's big time, and that's done got going, Brother Pike. And you could never stop that. We're not trying to stop that. We're trying to correct the disorder. The Bible said, let everything be done decently and in order. They're not decent, period. And they're certainly not in order. And all the good things that God's got can be done decently and in order and should be and is given to the people for their benefit. And the bunch of devils and demons that are roosting like buzzards need to be driven out. You can say amen or me. I said they need to be driven out and somebody needs to lift up their voice against it and say something about it. And you know what, folks? I might not be long in this world. I might be breathing the last breath tonight. But you know what? It's like I told my wife, the last breath that I got to breathe, I want to tell you God's going to get rid of the buzzards one of these days. Because there ain't no place for them down here. When they get through eating the dead carrion, he's going to get rid of them. We won't need any of them over in glory. So then, I'm going to lift up my voice against it. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And I know holiness means the Spirit of Christ. Christ is the only spirit of holiness. That's the only righteousness there is. But it is a true fact that you must have the Spirit. And when you get the Spirit of holiness, which is God's Spirit, it will be manifested as heavenly treasure within your earthen vessels, even into your genetics, until it makes your faith shine with the righteousness and glory of God, and it will become a lifestyle with you to even dress according to holiness, that God might present you body, soul, and spirit blameless as a vessel of holiness. Jesus, proven to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness. And when we come to these things, he said he'd be a little flock, and few there'd be that find it. That it's a straight gate and a narrow way, and to try to enter in, for many shall try and not be able. What it is, all these others are being gathered together because they're tares, and they're going to be turned into a lake of fire. Let me tell you something, folks. You are translated into the kingdom of God by faith, and faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And to prove the word, you do what the word says. That shows your faith. And the kingdom of God is the spirit of holiness. It's the spirit of Christ. That tabernacle in a human body, that is holiness. That's the spirit of holiness. And your spirit must be translated into that spirit of holiness. And when it's in that nature of holiness, it'll do that nature the same way that it done when it was in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll perform the works and desire of that nature, which is holiness, to be about the Father's business and to leave off with the world, to come out from among the world and the unclean things and the cursed things that God might receive you. Until then, you're nothing but just tear in the rain and feeling the presence of God just like all the rest of them. And the blood on the seat of atonement is allowing this thing to go until God finishes his product and finish doing what he's doing in his purposes and goals in life. So then we're to lift up our voice like a trumpet and show the people of their sins and preach against these things and warn you to stay away from these kind of people. Stop getting around the water of these kind of things. They're full of deadly poison. And the Bible said, taste not, touch not, handle not that whereby the soul is to perish after the manner of using. Don't dare touch it. It's doctrines and commandments of men. Don't bother it. So then, even the Pharisees and scribes, Jesus reproved them, saying, you teach for doctrine the commandments of men. Paul said, don't touch these kind of things. All of those things go well in the world, and it'll work out with your Olympics, and it'll work out with your career, whether you're in the military or whether you're in the medical world. It'll work out with your career. Any way you want to do, it'll work out. But it won't work out with God. Their sermons will work out the way you want it to, but it won't work out with God. So I'm still here preaching against it and will continue to do that by the help of the Lord as long as I live. And that's why that I run into these missionaries running around in shorts and doing the thing that they're doing with their DDs and whatever. They've gotten into the same old mire, and they're doing the same old things in the foreign countries that they're doing over here. And coming to America, they call themselves missionaries to America, over here evangelizing America. And I admit America needs evangelizing, but not by people running around in shorts. That's what got them to wearing shorts, was America going over there to evangelize them. We need God. That's what we need, folks. And we need the Word of God. And we've got the Word of God in our midst. And them guys are just coming over here riding circuits to pick up money to go back over there to spend that money and build them houses and do things with it, not feed the poor. Somebody said, well, you don't know. Yeah, I know, because I've been there. I've seen it. I've supported it when I didn't mean to and found out that's exactly what they were doing. See, and now I'm like this. Either we're going to preach the gospel and make an attempt to live the gospel, or either we're going to close shop. If I'm not going to preach the gospel, try to live the gospel, if I'm not going to preach holiness, then I don't see any reason for preaching. I don't see any reason for me preaching, and I don't see any reason for these boys preaching that's carrying on these great healing campaigns. What's the need of them preaching? Somebody said to win souls. To win them from what? If they're going to let them continue in their sins, what are they winning them from? All they're doing is commercialize off them and taking millions of dollars, hundreds of millions, and building empires and winding up in such degraded ways that I hate to even make mention of it from the sacred desk. See, why Why would God do that? God's not the author of confusion. God is not a fool. God doesn't do that. God's kingdom is not divided. What then are they doing? They're gathering the tares together to be burned. Oh, somebody said, all them people rejoicing in the Lord are going to be burned in hell. Yes, sir. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. They can do that and still go to hell. David said, I've seen him come to the house of God and leave and still turned into hell. That's what the Bible says. See, what does it say about praising the Lord? It said, praise is comely for the upright. So then, few there be that find it. Many is going to try. They'll praise God just like Esau cried with bitter tears. It didn't do him any good. Weep didn't do him any good. Judas obtained part of that ministry, went right along with the apostles, saw the great wonderful things happen, still went straight to his place because he was a devil. Folks, that's what you've got to remember. If you're going to live right, you're going to have to draw a line somewhere and get out of the world and get out of the flesh and get out of your carnal reasoning and realize that faith in God means the Word because God is the Word. And that this is the way that Enoch was translated by faith. It was by faith, the heavens declaring the handiwork. For the Bible said the earth is full of His goodness and full of His knowledge as to the Word. And the heavens declare His handiwork. And it is a true fact. It really does. We've even brought out concerning the star of the tabernacle and showed it in the zodiac that these things are right there in the zodiac as the heavens declare them. The wise men knew that Jesus had been born by the star that they saw. And the earth declared the glory of God as symbols and shadows of those things to come. Even as one writer said, even as the grass, it represents human flesh, and the flower represents the glory of man that fades away, blooms and then passes away. And all flesh is as the grass. And everything, those are not just statements. You can check it out in Revelation. You'll find out that God made that to be exactly a symbol, a shadow of those things that those prophets spoke of, or those people spoke of. So then we are back again to what we was talking about the other night, and that's faith. Back to Mark, and Mark 11:22, and here, have faith in God. We're back to talk on that a little bit. The other night we talked on it just a little bit, and I was trying to bring out some things concerning the blessings of the Lord. And in doing it, naturally, if I go that route, if I talk about your physical being or the benefit of your physical being, and if I talk about your health and I talk about your prosperity, I always can get your attention. That never fails as a rule, because that's what people are looking for. You know, they want something now. And if I come in here tonight and I start talking, I say, folks, this is an unusual service tonight. We're giving away $100,000 to the person that can listen the best. Make me to at least think you're listening the best. And I'll have good listeners. Now, see, that's where your mind is. That's where your desire is. That's where your hunger is. That's where your thirst is. That's where your labor is. But the Bible said, don't labor for the meat that perishes. Jesus said, don't do that. Said, your life don't consist of the abundance of things that you possess. Isn't your life worth more than meat? Your body more than raiment? So then I was talking about that, and then I got a chance to get your attention. When I got your attention, then I switched it over into Revelation and got in a little Revelation, and you was already caught, and you listened real good. And so a lot of times I try to do that. Sometimes I don't, because we're far enough along down the trail that I shouldn't have to do that. But because people are so much like children, I do that. All right, so then we say again, speaking of faith, what is faith? What is faith? Faith is believing what you hear. That's what faith is, if you're hearing the Word of God. Faith cometh by the Word of God. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not sure I got faith. Well, you believe, don't you? God has dealt unto every man a measure of believing as to what you refer to as faith. But see, that doesn't necessarily mean you got salvation. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, if God has dealt unto every man a measure of faith, and we're saved by faith, why is it that we don't have salvation? Because we're saved by faith. Well, if you have, then everybody's got salvation. Because everybody believes. Now, one believes one way, and one believes one thing, and somebody believes another. But even the devils believe that there's one God, but he don't get salvation from that. So then, why does the Bible use the terms that all men have not faith? If God has dealt unto every man the measure of faith, why does he then turn and say all men have not faith? He was speaking of two different kinds of believing. All men have faith as to believing. They have to believe to be able to tie their shoe, as we say, or slip on the shoe. They have to believe to be able to eat their meals, to go to bed, to get up, to work, to do anything. It takes believing to believe that they can even move out of a chair. Now, and they're commanding and constrained by their believing. But when it comes to salvation, that's not sufficient. They may have that believing, and they do have that believing, but still not salvation. Because all men have not faith. What kind of faith is it that they don't have? The faith of Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of God. And the Bible said that we're to contend for the faith of Jesus Christ that was once delivered unto the saints. Paul turned my people from their intellectual darkness of their own believing as to human reasoning and turned them to the faith which is within me, the faith by which they are sanctified. So then, the faith of Jesus Christ, the Bible said, which is the righteousness of God. And when you have the faith of Christ Jesus, you have the righteousness of God. Now, this is the thing. You can have faith in your mind as to your kind of believing. And you term that as faith in the world. That's your human terminology. But when you have the faith of Jesus Christ, you will never have the faith of Jesus Christ by your mind. It's not possible for your beastly mind, your corrupt mind, the mind that you're born with from Adam, to ever have the faith of Jesus Christ. You can never do that. So then there must be a complete purging and a complete eradication to be able to bring the faith of Jesus Christ. And this is the faith that we're lacking in the church world today. Though those people gather together by the millions, yet they don't have the faith of Jesus Christ. They have a simple believing of their own human ego, and they're not living right. So when the preacher stirs them and begins to preach, the rain comes down. Whether he's straight or whether he isn't straight, it doesn't matter. The rain is poured out upon the just and the unjust. It's poured out upon him. He can transformate his mind, the Bible says, and minister the words of light by that spirit of being poured out, and they can have a jubilee, and all of them can die and go to hell in 15 minutes from the time he finishes his sermon. See, because that isn't salvation, it doesn't save anybody, it does not translate anybody. It takes the faith of Jesus Christ to be able to save you. And if you don't have the faith of Jesus Christ, you don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you can't have that faith unless you take the word of Jesus Christ, because the word of Jesus Christ is the mind of Jesus Christ, which is the mind of God. And that's why the Bible said, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. This mind of God, if you don't have this mind of God, the spirit of Christ that was in the blood cell that was in Mary's womb, if you don't have this spirit, you're none of his. That spirit is a mind. It's the mind of the spirit word, for God is the word. And God being made manifest in a human body, he's still doing that today to try to make himself manifest in my body and in your body, that you might be an overcomer in every phase of your life so that he can be with you. Let this mind be in you, which is the word mind. Listen to the word of God. Give the more earnest heed to it. Take heed how that you hear it, until you develop this mind. If I was going to school, I would go to school every grade. I would try my best to transformate my mind until that's all I could think was education and talk education and plan education and everything that I'd done. When you go to school, you go to school. After a while, you don't realize it, but you've transformated into an educated fool. You have become an educated person. That's all you can think is those natural terminologies, everything you go to do. Whenever you go to apply skill or anything that's witty and you get a hold of it, you're going to use your educational approach. You're going to use your intellectual discernment to try to put it together to work. And that's what the world is controlled by, because that's Lucifer. That's the tree of knowledge. He savors the things that be of the flesh. And he develops you to one mind, and that's that system to be able to control you. Now, that way can bring you under the mark of the beast and those things by just one machine and through the computerized system. Now, in doing this, that means that the only believing that they have is the believing of the common person that's out of the world. They're no more than anybody else. The ones that go fishing instead of going to church, they're just as well off. As a matter of fact, the man that goes fishing and goes drinking and goes hunting, he's better off than the man that goes to church, unless the man is going to really be born again. If he isn't born again, he'll never see the kingdom of God, no matter what church he goes to, how much support he gives, no matter what kind of person he is in the community or how outstanding he is, he still is nothing but lukewarmness, which the Bible calls vomit, because it's been spewed out of the mouth of God. So there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the ways thereof are the ways of death. You cannot be lukewarm. You cannot stand at the door and not go in and hinder the people and have God's favor. You're going to have to live a holy life. I remind you again that Judas obtained part of that ministry. He was with them. He stayed with them for X amount of years. And he saw the great things, but he still went to his place, because it was said that he was a devil from the beginning. It doesn't matter how much you get mixed up with the Bethlehemites or anybody else. That doesn't matter. It's what you are by the foreknowledge of God, and you are by the foreknowledge of God exactly what he saw as to your greed in your lifetime and your desire of your lifetime. This is why Jesus prayed, "Father, not my will be done, but thine." That is to say, I'm as a man, Jesus said, and I have a man's desire, but I don't want my desire done. I don't want my will done. Not my will, but what you will, Lord. That is, as Paul said, and we have to listen close to these things, because right along here, a lot of times I say these things and people doesn't pay any attention to this. They just pass on over. But you have to listen to the intricate matter of the word, or you will never understand the things of God. Deep is the mystery. Great is the mystery. And you might say, "Well, I'm just a good listener." No, you don't get it. There's no way you can get it. You're not educated enough to get it. You're not smart enough to get it. I don't care if you're a PhD or whatever you are. You can't have it. He doesn't give it that way. It has to be revealed to you. And the only way we reveal it to you is through humility. Humility and the fear of God brings you honor, riches, and long life. So then God has hid this from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and he's made it revelation. When I say these things, Paul, one of the greatest learned men, most learned men in all the world, like Moses. Moses was learned in all the ways of the Egyptian for the purpose of his work. Paul was learned and said, "I count all of this as dung to obtain Christ. I'm determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified." And Paul said, folks, he said, there is something that's going on concerning the human body. Now, this is the man that we should listen to. Paul was the overseer of the Gentile church. He was sent to get the bride. "Paul, I'm sending you as a light to the Gentiles under the end of the earth. Go and bring me a bride. And Paul, you will run into all these sufferings and all these problems so that you can present Christ. For I've chosen you from the mother's womb to reveal myself in you, Paul, as Christ." So Paul said that I find that there is something going on in my life. Though I have been brought up in the Sanhedrin, I am a Pharisee of Pharisees, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the very best among them, I am blameless touching the law, all these kind of things. And he said, and I find that with all of my great ability, that I am nothing, and I am less than nothing. So he said, I find that I've been blaspheming, and I've been doing all these things, but received mercy because I did it in ignorance. So he exhorted us to be careful, to watch what we're doing. "It's by the grace of God I am what I am," Paul said. And God struck him down and turned him around. Otherwise, if he hadn't been one of the predestinated, God would never have done it. And he said, "I see that when I would do good in my heart and have a will and a desire to do the right thing and be the right kind of person, I find as a rule of thumb, as we say, or a rule of life, that evil is always present with me. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, when I go to pray, when I go to fast, when I go to fellowship, it doesn't matter what I do. If I go to sing a song, a gospel song, or something to praise God, I find always that the devil is screaming in my ear. He's right present with me all the time. And he said, this is a standing thing. And what I would do good, I find that evil is present with me. And then I find a continual warfare between me and me, of the inner me and the outer me, he was saying. Between me and me. Now, I find that there is a continual warfare between the body and the soul. And he said, the good that I would do, having a will to do good, I don't do it. He said, because I see something interfering with this will. And he said, and it's running on an interference to the extent that the good that I would do, I don't do it. He said, and then I see this evil present itself, and this evil that I inwardly hate, as that outward evil thing, I find that I am doing that evil thing. Now, somebody would say, well, what he was talking about, Brother Pike, was when he was a sinner. Since when does a sinner want to do good inside? When does a sinner want to live right inside? He was talking about after his conversion when he got God on the inside. I have a will, a godly will on the inside that wants to do good. He said, but I see a body here. We could see a bastard child body. I see a body of the beast. I see a body that's contrary to godliness. I see a body, the same kind of body that nailed Jesus to the tree. For he was saying, I have killed and crucified Christ. I have killed and wasted the church of the living God. I persecuted them. And in that I'd done it to them, I'd done it to Christ Jesus. And the Lord appeared to Paul, showing Paul that he was persecuting him. And the Lord said, Paul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who art thou, Lord, that I am persecuting thee? So he said, I see this thing warring against me, or I see this that is in the members of my body warring against the law of my mind. I have a law of mine, and this law is faith, and this law is love. And this law is a great confidence in Calvary and a great confidence in God. He said, but I see another law, which is sin, the law of sin and death. Not that the law is sinful, but because the law reminds me of my shortcomings, Satan taking advantage because I am flesh, and he pulls me to the line for my transgression. And transgression of the law is sin. And I see the law of sin and death working against me and against the law of righteousness and freedom. For the law of Christ, which is within me, makes me free from the law of sin and death. If I can believe beyond that, to believe that my body is dead but Calvary, or the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is no more I living but Christ that liveth within me. So he said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto the law of sin and death by the body of Calvary, or by the body of Christ. And be baptized in his name, as it was said, Paul. Wash away your sins down the street called Straight. And then Paul's eyes were open. So when he put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as being resurrected was no longer Paul, but now it was the body of the Son of God. Paul said, if this thing wars against my inner man, and my inner man wars against the outer man, for when I would do good, I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and the evil that I would not do, that I do, and the good that I would do, that I don't do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, this is the body that's doing that. He said, but if I do that I would not do, then it is no more I that doeth it, but sin. That is, I can't even blame my body for that, he was saying. I cannot blame my inner man for it. Because my inner man wants to do right. And I can't even blame my body, which is the feminine part, as to the woman, because she's the weaker part. And I can't even blame her. He said, it is an infiltration within her. That is, that comes down through Adam as the sentence of death being within the body. Therefore, the body must die for sin because it is transgressed. And the purging is, as to the woman in childbirth, shows this. And that's why Jesus died, so that you wouldn't have to go through that. So that you could be buried in baptism, having been crucified with him by Calvary, and then resurrected into a new life, and yielding your members to God as a new person, and a new body, and a new world, where old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, to where you could have the desire of your heart, and Satan doesn't have any right to you. And you should have this outlook. Lord, I am clean, I am holy, I am godly, by the blood of Jesus. No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Jesus justified, sanctified, predestinated, and he hath glorified me forever. So nothing can touch me. I'm inwardly sealed. And this body, he can't touch this body, because this body is the body of the Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father. That's what I am in the presence of God. And this other body, it doesn't matter if he beats on it, it's already dead and buried and gone anyway. And I'm just going to put it down the more, and I'm going to deny it the more, and I'm not going to listen to it for anything. I'm not going to listen to the reasoning of it. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm going to eliminate every thought, and I'm going to come to a place to where it's not me living but Christ, and give this body to God because it belongs to God. For the Bible said the body is the Lord's, and the man that defileth that body, God will destroy him, because that is God's bride. It is his body. The body is the bride. Now, when we realize this, then we cannot call ourselves unclean. For as the Lord said to Peter, call that not common and unclean, which I've cleansed. I'm showing you these creeping things to let you know that you're not under the law anymore. I've taken you out from under the law. And all of these people that are Gentiles, that to you seems to be unclean, that all of these foods represented in the Old Testament, which I would not let Israel partake of. Now they're cleansed. They're cleansed. That's why people eat crab. That's why they eat lobster, crawfish they call it. That's why they eat all of these things. All things are sanctified by prayer. In some places they eat rattlesnake, but they pray and it's sanctified by prayer. So when we see these things, we realize that the Gentiles are now partakers with the Jew, and this is the great miracle or mystery of God. That in Abraham's seed shall all nations be blessed. That he should be Father Abraham to all of us, even the father of the faithful. So then we see that God opened Peter's eyes, and Peter went down to Cornelius and preached the gospel, and they received the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, seeing that these have received the Holy Ghost as well as the others, who can forbid water, that they should not be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? And he commanded them to be baptized, and so they were. And the great, wonderful Pentecostal experience where Peter preached brought this great outpouring of the Spirit upon people. And then many people received the infilling of the Spirit. And it was added unto the church daily, such as should be saved, as they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God as a new person, cleansed. Not unclean. As long as you think of yourself as being unclean, as long as you think of yourself as not being right with God, as long as you think of yourself in any way other than being perfected by God and being holy by God and cleansed by God, you can never have your healing. You can never have salvation. You can never have the blessings of God, because it is an abomination in the sight of God for you to feel that way, thinking that the blood of Jesus Christ is not sufficient for the cause. If his blood came, the Bible says, Paul preaching this, that if the blood of bulls and goats could cleanse to the extent of the sanctifying, that of the red ashes of the heifer, how much more does the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us in purging our conscience from dead works to a living God? So Jesus, seeing that these things would not work in the Old Testament, for even the comer thereunto, as to the priest, could not make himself perfect because of the conscience. But God, finding fault with the beast's blood, put it away. And then if we went into real revelation to bring it out, it would show how he brought the new blood cell and brought this wonderful Ark of the Covenant to the spiritual world. And how that by this he, with his own blood, entered into the very place that God was. Not the tabernacle that Moses pitched in the wilderness, but the true tabernacle that God himself pitched in heaven, which was the body of the Lord Jesus. For Jesus said, I'm in heaven, Nicodemus, and I'm the door to heaven. I come from heaven. I go back to heaven. So in this we see that we are partakers of the divinity of Christ. The divine blood and royal blood is flowing through our vessels. And God sees us at the right hand of the Father, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And this that we see is no more. It's dead. It's buried. It's out of the sight of God. Our spirit is already translated into the spirit of holiness, which is Christ, hid with Christ in that new body that's waiting to be presented there at the change at the end of the church ages, that when we who have this hope within us see that body appear, we will be changed and be just like him at the appearing. That's our body. And thus speak members, of course. So when we come to the revelation of what Paul was trying to tell us, we see that the Gentile people are fellow heirs with the Jews, and that there's no difference between the Jews and the Gentile, the Greek, the barbarian, all have right to faith in Christ. But I warn you again that though you may listen to these things that I'm preaching at the revelation of the Son of God, and then accredit these things to yourself, that you are thus, as what I am saying, and be a bastard child and be more wretched than you've ever been in your life. And if you do that, God will eventually smite you. See, what you've got to do is either stay with your cry out or get born again to where you're really eligible for these things. And when you really get eligible for these things, you'll have a desire to put that body down and to get rid of that face of yours and the appearance that you've got. And you'll want to perfect your heart and the spirit and mind of Christ. Forget about your ambitions in the world and who you are and what you look like. And give your body a living sacrifice. You'll work toward that with all of your life. And you'll hate this present life and that background of yours and the past and those kind of things. Wanting to be like Jesus and trying your best to think like God and walk like God and to be godly. The Bible said, add godliness unto your experience. Temperance, patience, and godliness. And when you go down and get these things, it's not written in the book. Only through the revelation of Christ. That means there won't be anything following this. And the ones that get this will be the eternal ones. And the ones that don't get this won't be the eternal ones. This is like Ruth that done the gleaning that became the bride. All the rest of the maidens went by and they got what they wanted to. And they had plenty of harvest. But when it come to Ruth, all she had was just the leftovers and the gleaning of the field. But she became the bride. So then we need to consider these things of coming to church for over 20 years here. God trying to have us in school and our minds have been so divided to eat and to drink and to feel like we're part of Bethlehem and just to feel the Spirit being poured out of the things coming to pass here and enjoying the wonderful benefits of Bethlehem like all the rest of the world with the things that they've got. Not realizing that we're going to hell the same way they are if we do that kind of thing. And we fail to be impregnated with the wonderful word of God to bring forth Jesus Christ, as Paul said, the minister travailing, to form Christ in you as the wonderful mind of the Son of God himself, in self-denial and being killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter, equipping yourselves with the mind of self-denial and suffering to feel the infirmities of others and being a real mother to the children of the church and the parents laying up for the children that we might come to the full measure, the full stature, the full reward. All right, let's stand together. These are just a few little things tonight to remind you that God is moving and that things is happening and that things are winding up. And while all of these people run as to the latter rain being poured out upon all flesh and visions and all these things are taking place, and they are, and God has given his blessings everywhere, that there is a little flock. God's drawing in. He's pulling them in. Like the vision I saw, there was a crown to be given. And this beautiful crown was one of the most fabulous crowns maybe that was ever given. It was ready to be given, but I could not find anybody that it was to be given to. And I thought, well, now a crown to be given to somebody, and yet there's nobody to receive it. And it's such a fabulous thing. Then I thought, now who will receive this crown? And then it was brought to me, and I was made to know that charity would receive this crown. That this crown was made for charity, only charity. So then it's very obvious that those that are in love, the bond of perfection, that they receive this crown. And if you don't have charity as the work of God, as to the love of perfection, and this word and love of God will cause you to surrender to a perfectness in God, going on to perfect your ways before God, going on to perfection in the sense of making your body to submit and conform to the word, because you're already perfected forever by the inner work of the sanctification of the faith of Christ. But daily sanctification is to self-denial, whereas you sanctify yourself every day over and over through self-denial and conformity to the word and concern of being like Jesus. This daily sanctification, if you have charity, it will lead you on to that. Charity, the God love, the sacrificial love that God so loved he gave,
it will cause you to give and surrender and love one another. Esteem others better than yourself and seek the welfare of another. And this love is as strong as death, the Bible says.
All right, let's sing a little chorus together. We're not going to keep you. I'm going to let you go.
I'm only human, and I'm just a man. Help me to be all I can be and do the best that I can. Show me the stairway that I should climb. For my sake, Lord, help me to take one day at a time. Sing there, women. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all that I'm asking of you. To give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. Lord, if you remember when you walked among men, at your looking below, then Lord, you know it's worse now than then. There's pushing and shoving, it's crowding my mind. So for my sake, Lord, help me to take one day at a time.
Can you sing that with me?
One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all that I'm asking of you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. For yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So for my sake, Lord, help me to take one day at.
Sing that one more time.
One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all that I'm asking of you. To give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So for my sake, Lord, help me to take one day at a time.
I was standing here for just a few minutes worshiping the Lord. Let's just lift our hands up and close our eyes tonight. I purpose in my heart, of course, not to hold you long. I just want to get over the word of the Lord. That's all. I got a minister from Christ. I didn't go looking for it. I was struck down and turned around like Paul. And I'm trying to preach the truth because
I'm going to have your blood on my hands if I don't tell you the truth. And I'm not trying to come against anybody or lambast anybody, but the Bible said if you spare any of them, they'll be pricks in your side. And I'm not going to let my people think that they can go after the things of the world and everything's going to be all right, because it isn't going to be all right. And you're right down at the end of the church ages now, folks. And you really need to be careful. You really need to pull away from those things and get on the right side. If you don't believe this is right, go get with them. I've no problem with that. But the thing is, when you get with them, that means that that's what you're going to get, is whatever they got. And if it seems well with you and seems good to you, that's fine. The Bible said concerning the world, make yourself friends of the unrighteous mammon, that when you are rejected of God, that they may receive you into everlasting habitation. But then if you believe in this, then stay with this and follow this, and don't just play around with it. Get down to business and get the benefit of it. Or you can stay here like Judas did and lose out, even as Esau. You can at the last minute lose the birthright when you're so sure that you got it. I know when we think about Jacob and Esau, we think it's so horrible that God would take the birthright from Esau and give it to Jacob, because he was the firstborn and due the birthright. But if you'll check, he didn't take anything away from Esau. That birthright was a spiritual birthright. And he sent Jacob way down across the Jordan into the land of Laban. And he had to labor 20 years for his wealth and for his wives before he ever came back to the brook Kidron to meet his brother. And his brother was a wealthy man by then. He offered him wealth, and Esau wouldn't take it because he had plenty of wealth. So God didn't do Esau wrong. It was showing the preferences to the spiritual use where God used Jacob. And I can take the life of Jacob and show you allegorically by revelation that he used him during his whole lifetime. He was a chosen vessel unto God. So don't be like Esau. Don't lose your birthright over a morsel of bread. And don't do like Judas and sell your birthright for 30 pieces of silver for a little something in this world. Don't do that. All right, just lift your hands up together. Close your eyes and let's sing this little chorus together. I will praise Him. I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Put your heart into worship. Put your heart into worship. Search your heart. Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the word, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. He believeth unto righteousness. And you can't be saved unless you have the faith of Jesus Christ, which is God's righteousness. So I want to praise Him. I want to praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for the blood that's won the way. One more time together, let us sing. I'm going to ask Brother Willie Hope, if he's here, to come and dismiss us, if Willie's out there.
Praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory. glory. Remember, the end of the world is here. Ye all the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, right down at the end of the church ages now. And God's getting ready to take His bride out. He had to finish the message first. He's got to finish this mystery. It'll be finished at the sound of the last trumpet. And that's what will take the bride out. If you'll check the book of Revelation, the 10th chapter, 10 and 7, the trumpet, the angel, time no more, war in heaven, Revelation 12, and Revelation 11, between 10 and 11, or 10 and 12, the last trumpet sounds. And the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of God and His Christ. So just as quick as the mystery is finished, like Revelation 10 said, then that last trumpet, Revelation 11, 15, finishing it, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. That's what brings the end of the world, is the finishing of the mystery. And the mysteries are being finished. Down at the end of the church ages, everything's coming to pass. While we sing this song together one more time, let's remember that, okay?